slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in providing life-changing nutrition information. We have a great topic this morning. It's a very important topic to discuss. It's bone health, or the lack of bone health, which is called osteoporosis. I've invited a bone expert today to share her research and wisdom about preventing osteoporosis. So let me introduce Leslie Sabora, and she is currently a PhD candidate at the University of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And she's studying the effects of nutrition and physical activity on bone health. And so, hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dar. Thank you for having me.
I know you're looking at a special group with bone problems, adolescents who have had bariatric surgery.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, for our listeners, bariatric surgery is often called gastric bypass or weight loss surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So, Leslie, what are you seeing in this group?
Well, first of all, thank you, Dar, for having me on the show with you today. I appreciate it.
And it's always fun. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I know. And it's always fun. It's always fun to do the show with you. So I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Minnesota, and I work in the Laboratory of Musculoskeletal Health in the School of Kinesiology. And the focus of my my thesis is looking at the effects of gastric bypass or bariatric surgery on bone health in adolescents. It's interesting. I can't talk about what we've seen yet because there are no known research studies that have looked at the effects of bariatric surgery on bone health in adolescents. But there are numerous studies that have looked at the effects of bone health on the nutritional status and bone health in adult populations. And yeah, and so what we see in adult populations following, I mean, as you know, following bariatric surgery or gastric bypass, adults or individuals who have it will lose significant amounts of weight.
Yes.
Lots and lots of weight very, very quickly. And so what we're seeing over time, for example, numerous studies after 1 year, which we'll look at the hip, which is a very, as you know, clinically important site for osteoporotic fractures, we're seeing fairly consistent losses of anywhere from 2 to 14% of bone mineral density at that site, which is
2 to 14% of bone loss.
Yes.
The hip bone loss. That's a lot of bone loss.
It is a lot of bone loss. And just to sort of put that in perspective, that would be comparable to, if let's say, for example, NASA is doing a study on bone loss in weightless environments, we see sort of similar bone loss following those kinds of experiments, or similar bone loss following experiments where people are on bed rest for prolonged periods of time, say, you know, 2 months or something. They may lose up to 4% of bone mineral density. And so kind of keep in mind that those populations are not using their bones at all. They're not weight bearing at all. But we're seeing similar losses in these bariatric patients, adult bariatric patients, and they're walking around in their ambulatory. So it's fairly significant.
It is. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Leslie, just to think about all this is that, first of all, I bet listeners are thinking, you mean that adolescents are having bariatric weight loss surgery in Minnesota. I mean, they think, oh, that might be happening in New York, but not in Minnesota. So this is happening, right?
It is happening. I mean, we know that there's not a lot of, you know, there's relatively few adolescents who are having bariatric surgery, but nonetheless, it's still important to understand what might be happening with their bones in particular. There's other research that looks at, you know, other things. It's very, you know, it's been shown to be very useful in reducing other comorbidities. But, you know, these adolescents will live with this altered physiology for a very, very long time.
Right.
And so, I mean, in terms of their bone health, we don't know exactly what will happen. They may not lose bone, but, you know, adolescence is a very critical time to gain bone. And So we're interested to see how they gain bone during this time and what the effects are. So it's relatively unknown yet. So they may not lose bone. They may lose, you know, some. We don't know. But,
you know, to put this in perspective as far as what we real people experience is, you know, I had a client about 3, 4, 5 years ago, and she had had bariatric surgery.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first people. So this was it for that was like many, many years ago. And literally her bones were breaking mm-hmm. when she was moving around. And mm-hmm. that's how thin and fragile her bones had become in that maybe 15, 20 years that she had bariatric surgery. And maybe things have changed from when she first had it, but it was really interesting. And she did die of a hip fracture that ended up in with pneumonia and, you know, all the things that happen after people have hip fractures, basically.
Yeah, yeah. The bariatric surgery is it can be interesting in that way, in that, you know, bone loss could occur through, you know, numerous mechanisms, through changes in nutritional status, because we know that depending upon the type of bypass surgery that's happening, whether it's maybe not a bypass, but it's an adjustable gastric band, or a bypass, we mm-hmm. know that it restricts the amount of food that can be intaken at any one time to very, very small levels. And so it makes it much, much harder to have a healthy nutritional status and adequate dietary intake following those surgeries. And so that might be a part of bone health that's happening in that population, or just the dramatic effects of weight loss. So,
the
dramatic effects of the weight bearing on the bone
exactly
is being lost. So,
You know, I think as we kind of explore this topic, we can learn a lot from your research about bones. And, you know, like every other tissue in the body, bones actually need nutrients. And the more complete and consistent that supply of essential nutrients is, the more efficiently and effectively nutrients are used. And the healthier and the stronger and the more dense the bones are going to be. And so it's just a win for everyone when you have a lot of nutrients in your body.
That's right.
Especially for your bones.
That's right. That's right. It's very important to have a sufficient nutritional basis for your mm-hmm. bones. So, I mean, we can understand that something like, for example, we're talking about bariatric surgery can interfere with nutrient levels. And so it makes sense that bones would likely suffer from that.
So how serious is it, really? You know, we hear this word osteoporosis. You know, and how serious is it, and what happens? Because then it leads to bone fractures, right?
That's right. Well, I think it's important to sort of understand what osteoporosis is. And what osteoporosis is really having too little bone that's not strong enough. So our bones lose mass, and then the architecture of our bones, how our bones are built, it will deteriorate, begins to deteriorate. And so that decreases our bone strength.
Mm-hmm. So then what happens when we don't have bone strength?
Well, we have an increased risk of fracture. And one thing that we know is that 1 in 2 women will suffer an osteoporotic fracture. But women, you know, it's not just women. It also affects men as well. And we also know that about 1 in 4 men will also suffer an osteoporotic fracture.
1 in 2 women.
Right.
That means you or?
Or you. which we hope not, either one of us.
That's right. It's going to be those other people that maybe are producers.
Yes.
There's two in there, so.
Yeah. Well, let's get them a good healthy snack to help their bones. So,
so what happens then to people mm-hmm. that have bone fractures?
Well, that's also interesting, Dar, is that there's some fairly recent research out that is looking at what happens following hip fractures, for example. So let's compare it. Out of 1,000 women, 15 will die following breast cancer, which we know is significant. And we know that mortality rates following breast cancer, you know, that's a very scary thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what's even more interesting is that 40 out of 1,000 women will die after a hip fracture.
Well, and then, you know, at my age, well, especially if I'm thinking about parents, you know, I know a lot of, you know, of my friends' parents, mothers particularly, mm-hmm. that have been in nursing homes. Mm. And that is exactly what they ended up dying of. Hip fracture, then a pneumonia.
Right, right. So it's not just the hip fracture, but also, you know, could be other complications associated or happening sort of in conjunction with that hip fracture. But it's significant and it's very scary. And it's also very expensive. The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons reports that hip fractures account for more than 350,000 hospitalizations every year.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And those mm-hmm. medical expenses from those hospitalizations and lost income total more than $12.6 billion. And I've seen estimates as high as $17 billion. That's a lot of money.
That is.
That's a lot of money.
You know, and I still think that it's difficult for most of us to look at a bone mm-hmm. and realize that it should be alive and growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember as a kid, you know, we lived in, there was a big forest that was right next to our house. And so, you know, my brother and I, we'd go out hunting animals.
Sure.
And we would be looking for big bones from animals. And we would pretend that we were out buffalo hunting. But I think we were finding is old cow bones.
Yeah. Well, you
I
know
don't
what?
Think there were many buffaloes there.
You know, one can imagine, right? You can have fun when you're a kid. You can pretend.
You know, but we would pick up these bones and they'd be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really difficult. And it's still difficult for me to mm-hmm. imagine that these animal skeletons or these bones were at one time alive and rebuilding and regrowing mm-hmm. constantly. And it's really interesting to think of that concept. When we look at bones or if we look at you know, Halloween's coming up and we right. always see skeletons around.
Yes.
And it's hard for us to imagine that those bones need nutrients and that they continue to be alive and growing, isn't it?
It is. Well, and like you said, Dar, when you look, you know, you look at a bone like you found in your yard when you were a kid, that's what a lot of people think our bones look like in our bodies, that they're just this sort of big, massive, you know, this big piece of bone it's not really doing anything. But I think it's important to remember that our bones are living tissues and they have some very important functions in our body. Number one, protecting our internal organs. They help us to get around. So they serve as a place for our muscles to attach to, which help us to walk around and get to the store and go from place to place. You know, that's important. They're
that
also,
is.
Yeah, they're a site for red blood cell formation and for calcium storage. So there's some important functions of our skeleton. It's important to keep it healthy.
So we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, some research I found, Leslie, was this is really interesting about osteoporosis. There's a Dr. Clifford Rosen at the Maine Center for Osteoporosis Research and Education. He found that individuals who have premature gray hair, that means that if you have premature gray hair, it's half of your hair is gray by the time you're 40. You know, these people are more likely to develop osteoporosis, 4.5 times more likely to develop osteoporosis if you premature grayly. So I have a friend, Peggy, and I think she had gray hair by the time she was 32, really. And so this explains to me, it was interesting to see this because Peggy broke her ankle several years ago and just kind of stepping wrong. You know, it wasn't like she fell or anything and it broke. So, and she was, again, she was gray by the time she was probably 36 or 32 or whatever it was. So when we come back, stay tuned because Leslie's going to give you a clue of why this happened. So if people have questions today, our number here today is 651-641-1071. We'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1.
Yeah.
Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Before break, Dar shared some interesting research about people who had gray hair prematurely and had a higher risk for osteoporosis. And it appears that individuals with gray hair are also more prone to a loss of pigment in their skin.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would kind of describe Peggy a little bit.
Yeah.
Fair, real fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yep.
And it appears that those with more pigment in their skin and hair have denser bones, according to this research. And there seems to be a connection to skin with less pigment and less exposure to sunlight.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, and we know that sunlight provides an essential nutrient for our bones, vitamin D. So the research often goes back to some very basic nutrients.
Vitamin D.
That's right.
That's a pretty basic nutrient for bones, which we're going to talk more about later.
Yeah.
But right now, I think what we're going to do is catch a couple callers. Good morning, Lynn. You have a question. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Oh, thank you. I am wondering about the effects of caffeine in coffee, and also I've heard that if you have caffeine in your tea, it's not as bad.
So, Leslie, you want to take the coffee, tea, caffeine kind of question?
Sure. Thanks for calling, Lynn. I think that you bring up a very good point about the effects of caffeine on our bone health, and I think whether the caffeine is in coffee or in tea, although we know coffee typically has much more caffeine than tea does, but we know that caffeine impairs our body's ability to absorb calcium, and we know that calcium is an essential nutrient for our bones and building strong bones, and so I think it's probably wise to limit our caffeine intake, or maybe drink herbal tea. That might be another option.
Right, and I think so. What we're basically saying is, you know, a cup or two of coffee or tea, or even more tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in a little bit of coffee, there's about 100 milligrams of caffeine, if
mm-hmm.
I remember right.
I think that's accurate,
In black tea, there's about 60 milligrams. And I think in green tea, there's even less mm-hmm. caffeine. So, I think a couple of 100 milligrams of caffeine a day should not be a problem for anyone. But when you start to go up to the 8, 10, 12 cups, and especially if you do it with cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
then you're really in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So does that help, Lynn? Oh, I think she maybe was just listening on the...
Okay.
So that's okay. So let's take another caller. And good morning, Jennifer. You have a question for us. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. I love you guys. I listen every week.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. I just have a question about when a woman stops menstruating and... she's doing all the nutritional things recommended, and I know you guys are going to get to that,
mm-hmm.
and exercising, doing weight-bearing activity. Would you also recommend some sort of a safe hormonal type? Is there some sort of herbal or some sort of...
Well, I think one of the things to look at is a little bit of progesterone cream.
Okay.
Natural, bioidentical progesterone cream. I think the research shows that supports bone health. And so that's pretty safe for people. And then, you know, looking, if you're really deficient in estrogen, you might look at some bioidentical estrogen. But I think what we're finding is most women are not deficient in estrogen these days. But they are more deficient in progesterone, because as soon as you stop ovulating, you stop making any progesterone in your body. But your adrenal glands and fat cells take over production of some estrogen.
Okay.
But, you know, I think, again, it goes back to that individual person.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one perfect answer for everyone.
That's true.
That's why it's so interesting, I think. That's what I find fascinating as an individual nutritionist. It's just fascinating to see how different each person's body is.
Right, biochemically.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the call this morning.
Yep, you bet.
So, you know, we were kind of talking about, Leslie, before we went on break, that things, our bones kind of need that constant level of nutrients
mm-hmm.
because they kind of, we need to keep feeding them that.
That's right. That's right. It's our, you know, as we said before, our bones are our living tissue. And what's important about our bones is that they're constantly being replenished. And so they're taking, you know, our bones are taking older pieces of our bone, breaking it down and building new pieces of bone. So if you think about your bone age, Our bone age is kept much younger than our actual chronological age, and that's a good thing.
Well, that's good. I'm taking my bone age then.
Sure. But the way that bones are broken down and then rebuilt again is a process that's called remodeling, and that's very, very important in terms of keeping our bones healthy.
So remodeling. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I think? So can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah.
What happens? I mean...
So what happens with our bones is we have a couple of different types of bone cells. There's bone cells that resorb or take away bone tissue, and then there's cells that form new bone tissue. And what happens is that, like for example, if we develop some small micro damage, which can happen normally in our, you know, every day-to-day life, our bones are constantly being replenished. So they're breaking down those old pieces and then replacing it with new bone to keep our bones strong and healthy.
Well, the picture that comes to my mind right away is because I'm doing a little remodeling at my house.
Yes, yeah, that's an excellent way to think about it.
And so my son-in-law was down there taking away like a wall. I mean, he was using a little jackhammer, or maybe it was on the floor. He's using a little jackhammer.
Yep.
Is that kind of what it looks like?
Yes. And so the bone removing cells will sort of remove like these small little pits of bone.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe what's happening in your house, the new plaster or the new sheetrock and the taping will come in, and it's like a building material that comes in to repair and rebuild. And so that's really representative of us, you know, laying down this, replacing this new bone. And so it's sort of like remodeling a house. You're breaking down the walls and taking out old pieces and replacing them with new pieces, and it keeps your house looking fresh. And
okay, so that makes it so simple for people.
Yeah.
To know that you've got to continually have new materials, which is our nutrients, to go in there and repair and plaster things up well.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, okay, so, Leslie.
Yes.
Here's another question.
Yes.
We have some of these medications out on the market now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's many ones, but most people are familiar with Fosamax.
Right.
So how do they work then?
Well, Fosamax is one form of a drug called a bisphosphonate. And so what that does is that it reduces our bone breakdown by these bone resorbing cells called osteoclasts.
Okay, so if we go back to the house,
yeah,
there's no jackhammer.
Right.
So nothing breaks down that bone then.
Well,
is that what happens in that process?
Yeah, it disrupts this remodeling process.
Well, there's no plaster going on.
Well, it's kind of a complicated process in the way that it works, but what I think is important to know about drugs like Fosamax is that, you know, research studies will show that in the short term, after maybe 6 months or a year, they reduce fracture risk, but because they disrupt this bone remodeling process, you know, like I said before, our bones are accumulating micro damage, just like your house needs to have continual maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
If that maintenance process is stopped, the house can structurally not stay as strong as it should be.
Yes, exactly.
And so what happens is micro damage will build up in our bones, and it's not being repaired. It's not being removed and replaced with new bone.
So then we end up with kind of old, and I don't know, kind of like old hard bone, maybe? Is that kind of what we end up with when we use those medications?
Yeah, it's just our bones are not, we're not getting that new strong bone that we need.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back in a little bit here with more discussion, but you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, if you have a question today about bone health or the type of calcium, you know, give us a call. It's 651-641-1071. You know, if you don't have time right now today to give us a call, we have a great class coming up. It's called Nutritional Solutions for Osteoporosis, and we're going to be teaching it in Wayzata, and that's going to be on Monday night, October 5th, and in St. Paul on October 14th. And guess what? The price is only $25, and it's a great class. And we even have a bone-building soup recipe, which is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And if you want to check out the class, just go to our website. It's called weightandwellness.com, and that's all spelled out, and we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along. Why hit the snooze when you can laugh along? Ian and Marjorie.
I want to say Jason Matheson heard weekdays 11 to 1 on FM 107.1. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
so on your imaginary island, it's you, Katie Couric.
Then Marjorie, Nicolette Sheridan, and then Shania Twain.
Now, here's what I'm trying to figure out.
I like your island, Jason.
You know, I understand being kicked off of your island, although, of course, I am the only one on your little made-up island that has what you crave, right? Hot flaming man love, and I'm the...
Living life and their marriage out loud. Ian and Marjorie, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
You look awesome. Were you on vacation, new man? What's your secret?
Thanks. No, actually, I discovered Wrinkle-Free Fridays at Belladerm. Once a year, you can get 20 units of Botox for only $199.
Wow, that's a great deal. Hey, I have my reunion in 2 weeks. Do you think I can get in before then?
They book up fast, so you should call right away. Their number is 763-494-9905. Now write that down. It's 763-494-9905.
Belladerm's Wrinkle-Free Fridays are back. Now through November 20th, receive 20 units of Botox. For only $199. Belladerm Med Spa is Maple Grove's state-of-the-art medical spa, selected best medical spa in Minnesota for 2009. Find out more. Go to FM 107.1's advertiser page and click on the Belladerm Med Spa logo. One offer per customer cannot be combined with any other offer. Oh, and save the date. Belladerm's open house is October 6th from 5 to 8. Great specials, giveaways, and fabulous food. Special thanks to our open house partners, Viaggi's, Princeton's Liquors, Good Things, Mark Michael Diamond Design, and Donato's Floral, Tuesday, October 6th. See you there.
I blame my dad. I got these dark under-eye circles from him.
I blame my job. The late nights are showing up on my face.
You know, my mom's dad had dark circles too.
If you have dark circles or bags under your eyes, you can blame whoever you want. But if you do nothing to combat the problem, you have no one to blame but yourself. That's why we want to give you a free trial of clinically proven Hydralyze for free. Just call 1-800-700-8150 in the next 10 minutes. Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and under eye bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. See for yourself with a risk-free trial. Previously, this scientific breakthrough was only available in surgeons' offices, but right now we're offering it free through this exclusive radio offer. If you're a male suffering from dark under eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes to get your free trial of Hydralyze. If lines are busy, call again. 1-800-700-8150. 1-800-700-8150.
Hey, this is Marjorie, and in case you haven't figured it out yet, I am super picky, and I'm especially picky with the people that do work in my home. I've been putting off carpet cleaning for years. Yes, I said years, until last week when the guys from Zero Res came to the house. They did a fantastic job, and here's why. They use empowered water. I won't bore you with the science, but basically, they use a patented system that makes everyday water a super cleanser. This is nanoscience stuff, but it results in super clean stuff. Zero Res is the only carpet cleaning company that uses empowered water, and that means no soap and no residue. It is the healthier way to clean. Call Zero Res today and ask for the FM 107.1 special. Three rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for $168. Call now and you'll also get the Lifetime Spot Treatment Kit with your service. Remember, the FM 107.1 special for $168. Call 952-ZEROREZ. That's 952-ZEROREZ. Spell it backward or forward and it spells the same. That's Zero Res.
It's time for your 5 Eyewitness News Chicago weather. Today, a high of 71 and partly cloudy. Tonight, it's clear, partly cloudy with a low of 56. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, a chance of a late shower, turning breezy in the afternoon and a high of 70. Currently, it's 53 here at FM 107.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Leslie Sabora, nutrition educator, and I'm here with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and we are talking about bone health.
We are. And, you know, if you, as a listener, have taken the weight and wellness classes, our series of classes recently, or maybe even 8 years ago, and I think Corey was checking yesterday, mm-hmm. and I think it's over 2,000 people that have taken that we had actual emails for that have taken the weight and wellness classes. So a lot of people. So if you've taken one of those classes, I invite you to sign up for our very new Living the Weight and Wellness Way. and we have developed 8 new classes in order to provide real practical suggestions to helping you maintain a healthy eating plan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and so we'll be teaching several of these classes in White Bear Lake on Tuesday nights. And I'm going to be doing that with Aura Lee, but I'm going to be teaching 5 out of the 8 classes.
So excellent.
I hope people come and spend some time with me. And that's going to start on September 29th. And Leslie, you're going to be teaching all 8 of those in Wayzata.
Yes.
And that's on a Tuesday night.
Yes. Starting this coming Tuesday.
And Leslie is just an absolutely great teacher. So,
well, you're very kind, Ar.
No, you are. So, and then in St. Paul, Kristen and Kate, and both of those are excellent teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And they're going to be teaching it on Thursday night. And so these classes are really a perfect way to get back to healthy eating. So by holiday time, you're going to just feel great.
Yes. Yes. You know what I love about these classes? And we taught sort of inaugural classes over the summer, and people just time and time again kept saying to me, this is so nice to help me sort of recommit to what I had started in Weight and Wellness 1.
Yes.
And they really appreciated it, and the feedback was great.
Yes.
So, and it's a fun class, and we have new bigger classrooms in Wayzata.
Yes.
And in White Bear Lake.
And that's so nice for White Bear Lake.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Because we used to have people just packed in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nice and cozy, but it's nice to have space too. But all of these 8 classes, $169.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and they include great new recipes.
Yeah. So if you want to sign up, you can go on our website, weightandwellness.com, or, you know, you can call our office. It's 651-699-3438. So whatever, we look forward to having fun.
Yes. Yes. So, I want to see lots of bright new faces. So
yes,
so come and see me in Wayzata.
You know, Leslie, we've been hearing about healthcare reform, and it's kind of interesting that 3/4 of our healthcare spending is now goes to very treatable, preventable chronic diseases. And most of these preventable diseases, such as osteoporosis, are linked to nutrition and the lack of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as nutritionists, I know very few insurance companies pay for nutrition education or counseling. You know, that's one reason that I have the show, is that I want to bring this information to everyone. It's life-changing nutrition information, and it's needed. I mean, we need to protect our heart, but we need to protect our bones too.
Right. Well, and you know what, Dart, like you said, a lot of these are preventable diseases. So practices that you would do to prevent heart disease, that you would do to prevent obesity or prevent diabetes, those are some of the same lifestyle practices, healthy eating and exercise that you can do to keep your bones healthy and strong.
So what's some of that? You know, one of the people that emailed in or left us a question is, what are some of the nutrients that we really need when we're looking at how we're going to keep our bones healthy?
Well, one of the first things that comes to mind among many others is protein, and having sufficient protein.
Protein.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Well, we know that protein helps build collagen. Collagen is one of the components of our bones. It makes up about 20 to 25% of our bones. And so collagen is very important. And besides that, you know, collagen keeps your skin looking healthy.
Keeps you young.
That's right. Keeps us young. Gives us a youthful look.
That's right. So, and you know, we know that most women need about 12 ounces of protein a day. Kind of 12 ounces. So you're thinking about that, that's like, you know, a couple for breakfast, a couple for snack, you know, 3-4 at lunch,
yep,
a couple in the afternoon snack, and 3-4 for dinner. I mean, mm-hmm, that's not a lot at one time, but it's a spread out through the day.
Right. Well, and it maybe doesn't seem like a lot to us, but I think that, you know, a lot of women don't get enough protein. But, you know, there's also that old nutritional myth that too much protein is not healthy for your bones, that maybe that it thinned your bones, except that nobody said what was too much.
You know, Leslie, I have never found women. I don't think I've ever worked with any woman who was eating too much protein when she came in to see me. It's usually, when we look at what they've been eating, it's 2 or 3 ounces, or maybe 3 or 4 ounces per day.
Right. Right. And I, you know what? That's such an interesting statement, Dar, because when I'm in class and teaching, one of the things that I ask the class is, we know that people don't eat enough protein, generally speaking. And most people will say, oh, well, I think I eat enough. So I'll ask them, think about what you had today, because usually a class is in the evening so they can recall their entire mm-hmm. day's intake. Mm-hmm. Did you have any protein for breakfast? Did you have some for lunch? Well, I had a turkey sandwich. Well, maybe it was a little thin slice of turkey between two slices of bread. And so people are not getting enough protein, and that's important.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to continue our discussion here, but you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you experience osteoporosis, you may want to consider reducing or even stopping in the intake of your gluten grains. And I think for people that are gluten sensitive, you know, researchers have found that gluten interferes with absorption of minerals leading to osteoporosis. So if you have questions, it's 651-641.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, Dar, my research points out that it is important to optimize peak bone mass during youth to help protect against age-associated bone loss.
So what are some of the key nutrients? I mean, I think what we have to do, we have to start talking about some, because there are really some key nutrients that people need.
That's right.
So let's talk about some of the first ones.
One of the first ones that we have to talk about is vitamin D. Now, normally we get vitamin D from the sun. We make it in our skin. We can also get it from fatty fish.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that there's not a sufficient amount of sunlight in Minnesota, especially during the winter months, to provide enough vitamin D for us for our bone health.
And let's face it, most of us work inside.
That's right.
And think about kids. They're not out in the sun like we were 50 years. I mean, you weren't, but I was out in the sun all the time.
Pretty 50 cool,
years ago. So, you know, so they don't even receive sufficient vitamin D to carry the calcium into the bone. And without vitamin D, you can't utilize the calcium that you're taking in. So honestly, most people in Minnesota, unless they go to Florida and Hawaii and on different places a lot, they need at least 2,000 milligrams, or I'll say this right, 2,000 international units of vitamin D daily. The past recommendation was 200, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, vitamin D is important for helping absorb calcium that we eat mm-hmm. and for laying down bone mineral. And I saw this interesting headline the other day that kids may need to bone up, no pun intended, on their D's as well as their ABCs. But the article went on to say that raising current vitamin D levels from 200 to 2,000 IUs, which you were mentioning, Dar, mm-hmm. could boost bone health amongst children and have long-term benefits. And it went on to say that our research reveals that vitamin D at doses equivalent to 2,000 IUs per day is not only safe for adolescents, but actually necessary. And so it's important to remember to, when you go to visit your doctor, ask them for a vitamin D test. And
exactly.
Your results should be above 50 to be in the normal range.
So again, we have to say it one more time. Vitamin D is really critical. You know, another key nutrient we need for calcium absorption is vitamin K.
That's right.
And this is something new for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you get vitamin K? Well, guess what? You get it from green leafy vegetables or green vegetables like spinach, kale, beet greens, broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons that we recommend those as our carbohydrates for vegetables for breakfast rather than a piece of bread.
Right.
And spinach and eggs cooked in butter is really a perfect bone-building food.
Dar, you were a fly on the wall in my kitchen this morning. That's exactly what I had. But vitamin K, there's a lot of interesting, you know, research coming out on vitamin K and that it can help modify a protein in bone called osteocalcin, which is made by the bone, our bone-forming cells. And so vitamin K, what we think that is, it can act as a regulator of bone remodeling, so that replenishing of bone and laying down of new bone mineral.
Mm-hmm.
So very important nutrient.
So the only way, you know, some of the new companies are putting some vitamin K in with their calcium now.
Right.
And that's great. I mean, I think that's great for some companies to do that.
Right.
But also, it's also important to eat more green vegetables.
That's
and this
right.
is a great season to really have lots of broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And you know, who would ever think about having Brussels sprouts for breakfast? But they're actually very good.
Right. Or maybe how about a minestrone with lots of kale in it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Right.
So should we talk about calcium?
Yeah.
Too?
You. I mean, we can't talk about bones and not talk about calcium.
Yes.
And so, of course, we need calcium, but we need to have it in a good form. So we recommend at Nutritional Weight and Wellness getting your calcium from calcium in a form called calcium citrate.
But Leslie, you know, there's all these calcium chews,
right.
and they're little chocolate chews, and they taste good.
Right. It's
and
like candy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
sure.
What's wrong with those?
Well, they're made up of calcium carbonate generally, which is difficult for our bones to utilize. And the carbonate actually also decreases our stomach acid, so the acid production in our stomach, which we need to help to break down our foods. And so we may be absorbing less than we think we're absorbing.
So, but you know, on the same tone on that one is there are so many people that they are actually taking in Tums,
mm-hmm.
Tums because they think that that's a good form of calcium.
Right. No, but we know that calcium citrate is much more absorbable and it's not going to affect our stomach acid in the same way. And so that would be the form that we need to take.
So, you know, basically, again, what we're saying is Tums is calcium carbonate.
Right.
And it reduces the acid
mm-hmm.
so that your absorption is even less, isn't it?
Right. Right. And, you know, 99% of our body's calcium is stored in our bones. And so calcium is very important. And
mm-hmm.
taking it in a good form is extremely important.
So we got to take another quick break. Welcome. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you're concerned about bone thinning, I would recommend a bone building product called Pro Bono. And it's produced by Orthomolecular. This product is much more than just a calcium supplement. And at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, we've used this product for the last 4 years, and almost everyone has experienced improved bone mass. It's really easy to take. There's a package you take in the morning and a package you take at night. There's no side effects, and you just have stronger bones. Simple. We like simple. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Welcome back to our discussion about osteoporosis. And I hope that we've convinced you today that good bone health is more than just taking medication or just calcium. And we look forward to answering your questions over the next week because it's critical for you to maintain healthy bones so you can call us at our office with any questions.
And this show goes so fast and we have so much we want to share. And one of the questions, one of the people emailed us is how many grams of protein do people really need per day? 12 ounces, you know, it's about 100 grams of protein. And then if you balance that out, so you take the protein, you make the collagen, mm-hmm. and then you balance that out with?
You balance that out with vegetables.
Vegetables, and
yes.
that makes your vitamin K and also a lot of other antioxidants.
Right.
And then you balance that out with?
Good healthy fats.
And that makes the mesh that all of our wonderful minerals attach to. So we talked about calcium. Let's talk about magnesium because that's so important
right.
as another nutrient
yes.
for strong bones.
Yeah, 60% of our body's magnesium is in our bones. Who knew?
That's right.
Yeah, right. And we also know that many people are deficient in magnesium or they don't take in enough magnesium. I mean, if you think of a typical, you know, American diet that's not taking in lots of healthy, good vegetables, nuts and seeds, that's where we get our magnesium. But we need to balance that with calcium, right, Dar?
Exactly. So it's interesting. We need to balance it. And that's what it is. It's a balance, isn't it, Leslie?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's if you take in 500 milligrams of calcium, you need 500 milligrams of magnesium. So it's a balancing act all the time.
Right.
So is there other minerals that we need?
There is. And I know you had mentioned Pro Bono before we left for the break a couple of breaks ago. And that's one mineral that's received a fair amount of research of recent years, particularly for postmenopausal osteoporotic women. And it's called strontium. And some people believe that strontium is as important as calcium for healthy bones.
And what is that exactly? What is strontium?
Well,
it's a hard word to say. That's for sure.
Strontium is a mineral salt. It comes in lots of different forms. Citrate, lactate, ranilate, which is the most popularly studied form of strontium. But what the research is showing is that it's demonstrated to have both anti-resorptive, so bone resorbing, where it's taking away bone, and then also bone forming properties. So it's helping to prevent some of that bone resorption and then also to help us form new bone.
And one of the last things that we really need to talk about is physical activity.
Yeah. Physical activity is very, very important. That's what we need to do throughout our entire lives. We need to keep our kids active and to help them build strong bones while they're young. And we need to stay active as we age to help prevent bone loss and to maintain our bones health.
Thank you for listening today. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Dar.
Have a great day.